Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where we coach owners of cleaning companies every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on anything and everything having to do with building, growing, and dealing with owning a cleaning company. If you're committed to growing your cleaning company, check us out at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. We got everything, including the kitchen sink, related to growing your company. We got webinars, books, we've got a Facebook community, we've got the podcast, YouTube channel, all sorts of nonsense. And if you want to be a guest on the show or have any questions or input or feedback, get a hold of our producer, Natalie, nat@growmycleaningcompany.com, or just give us a ring, 480-648-5149, to apply or leave some feedback. That said, today we are chatting with Doug Cunningham from Clean It, Inc. This guy works in the Des Moines, Iowa area, so we've got a Midwesterner on the phone. They do residential and commercial. If you want to reach out to Doug and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.cleanit. The number four, the letter U. So clean it for you, but clean it number four, letter U.com. Doug, say hello to Clean Nation, man.
Hey, good morning, Clean Nation.
All right, I probably should just let this go, but I can't help myself. Full disclosure, Cleaning Nation, we're on the phone. I talked with Doug a couple minutes before we got going. I do my best professional. All right, I'm going to hit record. We're going to go, and I promptly hang up on him because I just can't work talking and pushing buttons at the same time, and Doug was kind enough to take the smack in the face of being hung up on and still do the show. So, Cleaning Nation, Doug's a good guy. I'm vouching.
Yeah, we're looking forward to talking with your podcast.
Well, you're doing it right now, and I promise there's less than an 80% chance I'll hang up on you again before the podcast is over.
Great.
All right, man. Well, enough about me and my inability to work common everyday tasks. What's going on with you? How'd you get into the business? Where are you at? Give us a little insight, my friend.
Well, we're a relatively young company. We've been in business for about 6 years. I have a business partner, Sean, and he purchased a small cleaning company years ago. He wanted to move out of corporate America and get more into doing something for himself and building his own world. And I came from the charity world. I was in healthcare charity type work, and decided to partner with him in building what is today known as Clean It. And it has been a fun roller coaster of a ride. We finally gotten to a point to where we have good pipelines of customers. We have happy staff. It's been a really good business. And we've enjoyed building the business, and we've definitely bumped into a few walls along the way, but I feel that we've done a really decent job.
All right, beautiful. So hopefully you went from nonprofit to a for-profit business and didn't just switch nonprofits.
Exactly. You know, with that, it did help us to get more involved in understanding people's lives. And, you know, I was in respite care prior, and so we would, you know, focus on helping families that were caring for people with special needs, loved ones in their home, and getting them a break. And cleaning really is oftentimes giving people a break from their day-to-day routine so that they can have a more engaging life and be rested and not have to worry about that one task. So it really wasn't that big of a stretch for me, but the model of business is a little different. So
okay. Cool. You've done such a good, I feel like I should ask a follow-up question, but you're so succinct. You're doing my job. I'm just going to take a break. I guess we can move right to the coaching, man. Sounds like you guys have done great for being somewhat new to the business and off to a great start, but I'd love to help you in any way I can. What's going on in your world that I can give you some help with?
You know, we have a great pipeline of advertising and marketing strategies that have helped us get people interested in using our services. and we've built a relentless customer happiness product. We really want them to be happy with their end result, not just satisfied. And so we really relentlessly work with them until we know that they're in, you know, won't let us go. Where we have struggled is to keep that pipeline of employees beating down our door wanting jobs. And it's always seemed a little bit like a chicken or the egg kind of thing, where we either have too many employees and not enough work, or too much work and not enough employees. This happens to be one of those months where we are absolutely full. We can't accept another service this week, and that frustrates me. So I hate turning away money and new customers and or pushing them off. You know, we'd like to be able to people when they want to be served, but it's critical for us to be able to send people that we trust into people's homes or businesses. And it's such a personal service that we have to get to know them like family members. They have to train the way we like to have things done and also feel like they're part of that experience. And that takes time. And so we're really wondering where we can put our efforts and time and money into getting more people that stay and will work for us.
Okay. Gosh, that's such a good kind of synopsis of just the world that we all, you know, play in, so to speak. So yeah, let's just jump right in. I know, and to encourage you, that's Cleaning Nation has that exact same problem. So you are not a lone entrepreneur. Everyone else has got that figured out, and it's something else. We all kind of deal with the same two things. Before we jump in, I just had one quick thing. I really want to emphasize for Cleaning Nation and encourage you. I love that what did you call it? The happiness. You had a phrase that I really liked.
Yeah, we want to seek our customers' happiness, not their satisfaction. We want them to be happy with the finished product and to realize that they enjoy the people that are entering their home, that they're getting the customer service. We're not perfect all the time, but by God, we'll fix it. If we need to come out just to re-wipe down the top of your refrigerator because our cleaners are too short to see it, we will do that. You know, we want you to be happy with the product and stay with us. We actually have our very first customers to this day that we've had for all these years.
Man, so yeah, a couple things. I just wanted to encourage you on two things. And again, I promise we'll get to the employee thing because that's key, but I don't want to, you know, just walk by gems that you're kind of dropping out for me. First thing, I would name and brand that. I would create the deliriously happy customer guarantee. So I wouldn't just put happy. I like, or happy, not satisfied, or deliriously happy, not satisfied. So I'd put an adjective before the word happy and then end it with guarantee and make it kind of a phrase, right? Like, so you, instead of just taking 30 seconds to explain it, it can be on a business card. Your employees know it. Your customers can share that with other customers. They can just say, oh yeah, everything you do comes with a deliriously happy guarantee, as opposed to trying to explain it. So I really like that. I would, I'd probably kind of firm that up just because it's got a lot of potential power there. Second thing, gosh, there was another piece of that I really wanted to hit. Oh, you had a perfect quote, which I would use as a tagline. We're not perfect. We'll screw things up, but we'll damn well fix it, or something like that. That's a great tagline. You're just saying really good stuff that I'm like, man, that should be codified and intentional, and all of your people should be saying that exact same phrase, as opposed to me just getting lucky and Cleaning Nation just getting lucky hearing it. So free coaching. It's worth what you paid, since you didn't ask that question, but it was such good stuff. I wanted to encourage you on it and help you leverage that for even more impact. All right. That said, let's talk about employees. It sounds like you're looking for kind of how to get the pipeline, and you said something that just rings true, and I want to talk a little bit about that and set the foundation, and then we'll move to the tactical pieces. But foundationally, you said something really important, which is I hear all the time said in different ways, which is, you know, some months we're begging for customers and we want more business. We're trying to grow. Other months we're begging for employees, and it never seems that everything, or rarely does it seem that everything lines up, and we're growing equally fast with customers and employees. And that's just a teeter totter. You're sick of, you want to get off that ride. Is that a fair kind of summary?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the foundational shift I'll give you, and it sounds like you may be halfway there. I just want to say it really clearly. You know, so even if you're kind of doing it, it'll just encourage you and help make it clearer for you. I don't like that seesaw either. I don't like walking that tightrope. So what I always encourage my coaching clients to do is people kind of get in any business that I've got to have customers coming in, but they kind of do the, you know, well, we're slow, so I'm going to start doing marketing, or I'll start making cold calls, or I'll start, you know, we don't have any customers, we're slow, so I'm going to start doing A, B, or C. And then the exact same thing with employees. Ah, we're short, we need more employees, so I'm going to start doing A, B, or C, which is really a, you know, kind of a putting out fires way to go about it. And it makes it very difficult to grow. And you're constantly in that flux of, I'm running over here and trying to put out this fire, and that fire's out. Now, crap, well, I was getting new customers. The employee thing kind of spun out of control, so I run over there and put out that fire. Two things need to happen. One, we need to get you out of the equation altogether. So you're not putting out, A, there's no fires, but you're not dealing with those fires as the owner. B, we need to set up systems so there is no such thing. I always ask that trick question for my newer clients, like, hey, are you hiring right now? And sometimes I'll get yes, sometimes I'll get no. If I get a yes, oh, what are you looking for? They're like, oh, we're looking for one position. I'm like, wrong answer. The right answer is, if I had 20 good employees, you could good, solid, amazing employees, you could probably find the work for them. And I've throughout my career, cleaning business and otherwise, I've always done that. If I got a rock star, I put them on the payroll and figure out a way to as the larger we get, the more we know that talent is really kind of what we're all vying for. Customers are one thing, they come and go, and some are better at attracting them than others. But talent is really what I feel that as a business owner, that was my job. So long story short, the foundational shift I'd encourage you to make is move away from I need employees to I am always, my job as business owners creating lots of systems, but the two main systems are I'm going to create a system that independently of me and my efforts brings qualified candidates to me every month. And it brings two kinds of qualified candidates to be customers of mine. And that's a systematized process that comes in every month. So you set up the system, you tweak it, you spend some time, some months maybe getting it perfect, and then you walk away. And it should continue to bring in those qualified job candidates every month. The second system is the exact same thing, but for employees. So it might take you a month or three or six, depending on how big your operation is and how good of a system you want to put together. But the goal is not to figure out better ways to put out the fire. The goal is to put in a sprinkler system so it's just handled. So that's the first foundational shift I would make, is I can give you lots of tips and tricks of, hey, here's how to get better people. But we've just got to shift from we need customers, let's start advertising. We need employees, let's start advertising, to we constantly have systems that generate employees and customers month in and month out, and just free you from that. It's never going to work out. So don't ever feel like, oh, we've got too many customers, we've got to shut off the advertising. Wrong. Or we've got enough, quote unquote, employees, we've got to shut off that advertising, or whatever those systems are. Never the case. Your job is to put those systems in play. Then the only problem you're dealing with is tweaking and making sure they're kind of at right levels. So you're adjusting up and down, but you never shut them off. We go too much. Like, oh my gosh, we don't have any customers. Panic, panic, panic. I'm going to throw all my time and energy into finding customers. And then you get a wall of those. And oh my gosh, we don't have any employees. So it's kind of, you know, going from 0 to 10 and back. We've got a nice system and you're just tweaking it. So you might turn your leads in terms of customers or employees from a 6 to a 7 one month, or a 7 to a 6, but you're not going from 9 to 0, which is what most folks are doing. Before I go on, are we tracking, or am I just talking gibberish?
No, you've made some very good points. In fact, it does make me think, because we have staff constantly working on, you know, direct mailers and ways of advertising and marketing to get new customers. But we only seem to do that in looking for employees when we feel like we have a slowdown when we're too full. And so we don't really have a process right now where we're doing that constant employee search. Perfect. So, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's perfect. So that's the big, if that's all, I got a little more, but that's the only shift you walk away from is, oh yeah, I've got a nice system, and which puts you farther ahead than most I speak to. I've got a nice system where I've kind of got an automated stream of, when I say automated, that doesn't mean there aren't people working on it. You're just not that people. I've got automated stream of of prospects, and those prospects turn into bids, and some of those bids turn into customers, and that happens. And, you know, if I want to crank it up, I can do that. And if I want to crank it down, I can do that, but it's happening. Just duplicating that mindset on the employee side will serve you a ton. All right, that said, now that we're kind of on the same foundation of we're always looking for employees, like if I said, hey, you looking for customers, you'd be like, of course I'm looking for customers. I've never had anyone say, aside from what you're saying, like, hey, right now at this very moment, I can't take one today, but yes, I would like conceptually more customers in the near future.
All the time.
Same with employees, right? It should never be like, well, how many good employees would you like? Ah, I can only handle one. Bull crap. You might have some, you know, even within what you've got your top third, your middle third, and your bottom third. If you've got two more top third guys coming in, hire them. Best case, you find work for them, which is 9 times out of 10 what happens. Worst case, you get rid of some of the bottom two and you still are top grading. So there's really not a situation. And again, that's why they work in tandem, right? If you can't get customers, you don't need employees. You can't get employees, you don't need customers. So you've got to kind of have them both working. All right, enough of that nonsense, enough of the philosophical stuff. Let's get tactical. So there's a couple things. Where are you attracting your clients now? Or I'm sorry, your clients, your employees now, or your prospective employees?
Well, right now we are asking existing employees to identify friends and people that they know and would like to work with to bring them aboard. And we do that, or we put ads out on like Craigslist, the local newspapers, and you know, in general, like jobs boards that are around town that we are aware of. But it's been primarily through referrals.
Okay. So another encouragement, you've got so much of what you're doing correct. Like, I can see why you're having some success, because you've got a lot of the pieces. You know, it's so funny coaching. Sometimes I talk to people and they have nothing and we got to start from scratch. And it, you know, it makes my job easy. And we're like, hey, I've got most of it together. I just need a little, you know, just a little snap to make it perfect. So that's great. I always, first and foremost, not just employees, but your best employees. So bad employees will bring you bad employees, and good employees will bring you good employees. Just kind of birds of a feather flock together. So your highest caliber, best employees will absolutely be the best source, not of employees, period, but of your best employees. They'll just good quality people bringing good quality people. So I would continue on that. I might just systematize it a little bit. So maybe there's some sort of a system in terms of, well, let me give you another foundational thing, and then it'll work no matter what the outlying is. I really like creating, just like you create you've got that happiness, like, hey, we're not just looking for satisfaction, we're looking for happiness. I would do that exact same thing with your employees. We're not just looking for happy employees, we're looking for deliriously happy employees. And you want to kind of give them little gifts and specific things. So instead of your best employee telling his friend, who's going to be a great employee, yeah, I work at this place and it's good and you should come interview. Good employees hear that all the time. You want them to be able to say, you know, when I got hired, they threw me a party with a cake and they invited my family and they sent a bottle of wine to my wife saying, thank you for sharing your husband. They made me feel like a king. It was I couldn't believe that this was just a janitorial position. Not only that, they've got a deal where, you know, every single employee gets a free membership to a health club, and I've got a 401k, and they do parties every month, and you're invited, and they want the kids to come, and I came. The last party, there was an award. You want to give them real specific things where you make yourself very referable, so they're not just saying, yeah, it's great. And the cool thing with the $10 an hour employee, you have no competition. If you've got a $150,000 killer of an employee, you've got competition coming out of everywhere. Everybody's whining and dining and trying to let them know why their opportunity is fantastic. Nobody does that for $10 an hour employees. So if you just give them recognition and have parties, and like I said, I love parties when people start making a big fuss over them, having a cake and have everybody come around. Meet John, he's new, we're so excited to have him part. So John immediately on day one goes, this is very different than any job I've ever had before. This is, you know, because at $10 an hour, he can quit tomorrow because who cares? I'll just go get another crappy $10 an hour job. But when someone throws them a party, that's not replaceable. So you want to start building a culture and a system of, and again, all those things I mentioned, they have high perceived value, low cost. I don't know how many employees you've got, but if you find a local health club, you could probably say, listen, I've got 30 employees. None of them are ever going to show up. If you just let me pay you $300 a month or whatever the case may be, and I can tell them all they have a free membership, would that be cool? I guarantee you.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, but they don't know that. A perceived value to a health club, depending on which health club, is $20 to $100 a month. And if they use it, that's what you want them to do. You want to give them all these tools so when they wake up hungover on Monday and they got to go to work and they're ready to go, forget it, I'll just quit and get another job. I need a week vacation. I'll just get another job next week. Their spouse goes, no way. I just talked, me and Susie, John's wife or whomever are going to go out next week because I met her at the party, and I'm going to the gym that we use, and gosh, they do a, you know, you want as many, you know, we've got that 401k, and just so you know, 401k, if you don't do any contribution, which you should, but if you don't, it costs $2,000 a year, so it's like 180 bucks a month to have that all handled by somebody else. And I promise you, these are things they've never ever had anywhere else. So you just get 3 or 4 or 8 or 12 little quick and easy things that if you're creative, they don't cost, a cake costs $20 to have a party. If you think it through, you might have like 500 to 1,000 bucks a month. And again, it depends on how big your company is. But if you got 30, 40 employees, you can afford that for sure. But it's just this amazing package of, wow, this place is special. I'm never going to leave here. And it sounds like you guys have already started that. Like your people are already happy, but you just haven't given them the tools to refer their friends. So it's so special that not just the insiders that are already working for you get it, but outsiders come around and go, I want to be a part of this. How do I get in? So I've ranted for a long time. We've got to hit the lightning round. Before we do, any questions or thoughts or anything else we need to hit before we go?
No, you gave me some good ideas as far as, I think our problem is in the beginning phase of somebody first starting to work with us. Once they've been with us for about 3 months, they stay forever. But it's that initial phase. And I love your idea about hosting a party for them and making them feel really welcome and special. You know, we hire a lot of women, and sometimes they'll chew each other up and spit them out before they even have a chance to really become part of a team. And I love that idea of having a party for them and welcoming them in. I think that just, it really sets a different precedent. So I think that's great advice.
And again, just one last thing on that part. Well, two things, because I can't help myself. different podcast for a different day, but the fact that you've got, and again, that happens a lot with female employees not being sexist. I've had enough employees to know that's not atypical. That's a culture problem. That's a bigger problem than you think. That's got to get nipped in the bud. Where the culture is, we chew out and spit up people that don't fit. So people that don't fit our core values, that are rude or mean or mean-spirited or don't, those people we chew up and spit out. But the good employees that do follow our core values and share the beliefs that we have, they feel like they're at home. So that's a huge issue. Don't want to get too deep into it now. Second thing, just to give an example of what I was talking about with the systems that run automated from you. So let's just take the party for a second, and we got to get going. I'm going too long. But let's just take the party for a second. Say you spend a half a day one day this month, and you go to Party City, and you spend 150 bucks, and you get a welcome banner and all this repeatable stuff, and you make a system, and then you give it to, then you write down the way that you have a party, and you just put, if we hire multiple employees, we have all parties on Friday. You write down all the things about, here's the box where we get the things and we decorate, and here's how, and you just write it down. You spend 2 or 3 or 4 hours creating the system to do a party. Then you hand that piece of paper off to whoever you want with a sheet of, here's exactly how parties happen. And magically, that happens all the time until the end of time, every time somebody gets hired. And again, that's just an example. If you spend 4 or 5 hours, maybe a couple hundred bucks on the front end, and then that system serves you forever. Same with the gym, right? It might take you 2 or 3 or 4 hours to get that relationship set up and yada, yada, yada. But then that's a gift that just keeps on giving forever. So again, you don't want to just do this the hard way with, I'm not saying, hey, Doug, you set up the party and you do this and you do that. I'm saying you create a system, set it in motion, and walk away. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. All right. Great.
I have ranted and ranted. I need a nap. But before we do that, you're going to get a chance to give back to Cleaning Nation. Let's hit the lightning round, my friend. Three quick questions. I have full confidence you're going to give three amazing answers. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
To get to know our customers personally. It's very hard to throw out somebody that you really like. And being a commercial and residential cleaning company, we found that a lot of, we'll actually be the deep cleaning system for people that already have maids, the maid that they don't want to throw out. And so we've tried to become that company that they don't want to throw out, and that is a relationship. And so we bake cookies for our customers, we have an Expect to Win program, and, you know, if there is a complaint, we address it right now. And that has really, and we linked in to our customers on Facebook. We give them automated billing that has very community-based, information in it on how to improve their life, and it really has been a winner for us.
All right, man. Thank you so much for sharing. Let's flip the script and go the other way. What's the biggest mistake you've made that Cleaning Nation can learn from your experience?
I'd say the biggest mistake we've done is agreeing to do discounted advertising systems like Groupon or Living Social. Those, they are not our customer base. And they have, you know, our customer is not necessarily looking for a deal. They are looking for a quality relationship to provide an intimate service in their life. And, you know, those Groupons, they might be great for restaurants or something like that. But those deals end up costing a lot of money, and the retention on the customer base might be 20%, and it ends up costing you a lot of staff time and frustration, and it can ruin the business. And we've gotten stuck in those a couple of times.
Beautiful. That's excellent, excellent feedback. That's Cleaning Nation, if you missed that, rewind it, listen to that last minute. It was awesome. Last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice today that'll improve their business or their lives?
I think our Expect to Win program is probably the best little snippet that we had developed. We always had really positive feedback from customers, but we really never shared that information with our staff other than to say, hey, you did a great job today. What we did is we actually put a process in place to where the cleaning crews leave a thank you code, and there's a QR code on the back of it. And if you, like, you know, link into our website, there's a feedback button. And you can leave your employee a tip. We give everybody a $5 tip that's on that crew that comes to your house, and if you get a compliment. Those compliments are then every single day placed on a board in our main hallway. And so every crew that comes by sees all of those compliments on the wall. And it becomes a competition of focusing on good versus that one customer that screwed your whole day up because you can't please them.
Beautiful.
And I
was just going to say, I would give that money in cash in front of everybody every week. So it's like 10, 20 bucks in cash that they can put in their pocket and they don't have to go to the bank or anything in front of everybody. You probably already do that, but that's more for Cleaning Nation.
Yeah.
Such a good idea. Didn't want to miss out. Also, to supercharge it, we just did an podcast interview with a company called So Tell Us, which does automated reviews where you can get video and all the sort. It's fantastic. If you want to go to growmycleaningcompany.com/get-reviews, and this is for you, Doug, as well as Cleaning Nation, you can get a free trial and they waive the setup fee, and it's awesome. They get a lot of their customers get positive reviews from 90% of their customers, so couldn't recommend that high enough. All right, Doug, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Doug's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to the website, growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks, and I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.